Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Two outs in the ninth, the 3-2 to Harper. Swing and a miss, strike three, and the Cubs win it. The Cubs are in the league championship series for the third consecutive year.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. But it was a wild win that puts the Cubs in the championship series in the NL for the third straight year. Cubs somehow outlast the Nationals in a crazy 9-8 game five and move on to face the Dodgers for the NL pennant. But who starts game one? And who can they trust coming out of the bullpen? And game two of the Mitchell Trubisky era is Sunday, and it's his first game on the road. How will the rookie fare in a hostile environment against a Ravens defense that has the second most interceptions in the league? And welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I hope you had a really good day. You got some rest. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. These guys are laughing at me. He is Dan Cahill, Chicago Sun-Times. He's Fred Huebner. You hear him. He's one of the voices of the Chicago Fire, and you hear him all the time on ESPN 1000. And Mark Carmen, WGN Radio and Fansided.com. Why are you guys laughing?
Well, I'm rested, man. I'm ready.
I'm well rested, yeah.
Let's go. I watched you last night, called you after the game to celebrate with you, got up with you this morning, what you call like 7:30, because that's the type of guy you are. I feel great right now,
Captain. I called him on my way home because he texted me.
Sure.
About 1:40 in the morning.
A little bit.
I can't talk now. I've got to talk to you tomorrow. I'm like, you really? And then I called him back at 7:30. I'm already in the office. And no answer, right?
That's the 7:30. I'm doing something you're right, not call. He loves to put that on you. I was dead asleep.
Sure.
Yeah. Fred, how was your night?
It's off.
I slept in. I didn't have to worry about getting up. So I slept till like 9:30. It was nice.
Yeah, I did not. Anyway, how about that game yesterday? You talk about a wild baseball game. Pat Boyle had a great take. He said, take the stakes out of it. World Series versus NLDS. This game was more bizarre than Game 7 last year.
Yeah, I know. I've heard throughout the day people trying to say that. And the thing in my mind that makes it bizarre, the teams combined for 20 runs in the first four games. They scored 17 yesterday.
Right.
In the Cubs' big four-run inning, two were out when it started. The Nationals scored with two out. They scored in the bottom of the inning. The next inning, the Cubs get two outs, and then they score. It was so weird. You didn't know where it was going from 1 minute to the next. You've got the Contreras throwing behind. You got Lobatone coming off. You have Adam Lind swinging at a first pitch after Davis walks two guys in a row.
That was huge.
It's like there's so many weird things you can bring up in this game.
By the way, the hardest hit ball in the game, Kyle Schwarber single that dented the right field wall.
114.8.
You talk about a
crushed.
Linea. Yeah. In a weird way, did you kind of, I know you wanted your rest, but did you kind of not want it to end? Like, I kind of wanted to see, okay, are they going to go to Lackey or Wilson? What are we going to do here? You kind of wanted it to keep going.
It was awesome.
It was such good drama. It's like a movie you don't want to end.
I absolutely did not want it to keep going. That was the longest baseball game ever. And I missed the Schwarber dent because I had to walk out of the establishment where I was watching. Couldn't take it. Went to Walgreens, got some throat lozenges, got some Advil. I was listening.
That's soft.
I needed a little bit of a break. That was the longest game ever, the most insane game ever. I don't care. Last year, this year, they're all crazy. I didn't think 9 was going to be enough. I thought they were going to have to get to 11. Yeah. And I was – once you got past Wade, that would have been horrendous. And Joe Maddon had a rough
Here's
night.
Here's our Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. After last night's Cubs win, I was ecstatic or relief. For me, I was ecstatic. I just thought it was really, really cool.
Well, there were so many things, like I said, so many things in the game. When they bring Wade Davis in to get that last out in the seventh, I'm saying, okay, well, who's going to pitch the ninth? First thing I thought. Then when he starts pitching the eighth, I go, maybe he's going to go seven outs. I didn't really, truly believe it until he went out there for the ninth inning. It was amazing.
And I know, I think everybody beat up Maddon on social media for that, because everybody's thinking, this guy's never pitched this long, and what are we going to do, and yada, yada, yada. That was an in-game save moment, though. You know,
sure.
I mean, looking back, okay, so what if you bring in somebody else, and they give up 3-4? Oh, great, now we got Wade, to come in. It was, I don't know. I think it may have been a No, it turned out to be a pretty darn good move.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. I don't want to toot my own dialed into Joe Madden horn here, but I was after Quintana got whatever lefty was up in the seventh, and they weren't. I'm like, don't go to Wade, don't go to Wade, don't go to Wade, don't go to Wade. Then I'm like, he's going to Wade, he's going, and yeah. There he was, and I knew it was going seven. I mean, this was going to be Game Five of the NLCS or the NL or the World Series last year all over again, and he this is what he does. He does it, you know. Dunsing looked good. He gets what leaves one batter on. He's got to bring in Strope a little bit early, and then he's got to take Strope out. I think he always is making moves like one batter too early. He's just wanting to move to the next thing. I mean, that's my one criticism of him. And then he was stuck at that point. I mean, where are you going to go? You're not going to bring in Justin Wilson.
Oh. So would you criticize him for his in-game moves? Because I didn't see one move he made last night other than running Carl Edwards out there for the fifth consecutive right. game, where I was critical of it. Loved the move to bring the infield in the first to get Trey Turner at yeah. the plate. That was a big-time move. And, hey, man, Wade Davis did the job.
I didn't get – after Hendricks threw four, I would have gone to Quintana.
Me too. Then,
and let him roll as long as he can possibly go. Yeah. And then you can mix and match with your bullpen.
That's what he said
that.
He was going to do.
Right.
I mean, that's what Joe said he was going to do. He goes, Quintana's going to be my Lester from game four. And I'm saying, you know, great. You got Hendricks going four. Hendricks only had one bad inning, to be honest. He gave up those four runs in the second inning. First, third, and fourth, he was pretty clean. You bring in Quintana there, he can go a couple innings. You can save your bullpen. I know people are saying, what are you saving him for? There's no reason. If you're going to bring Quintana in anyway, let him come in.
Well, and I think he was saving him for game one. I thought it was Jim Frey 1984 all over again. And then afterwards, they're saying, who's going to start game one? They haven't, I guess they're announcing any moment right now. I think it's going to be Quintana. They just wanted to have, you know, this is the regular side for you, 12 pitches, whatever it was. But that's, you're playing with fire right
now. By
the way, they got away with it.
We are awaiting the press conference from Los Angeles. And as soon as Joe Madden sits down in front of the Penn and Mike Club there, you will hear it live right here on NBC Sports Chicago.
Can I ask a question? What is he drinking in the dugout? Is that like, what is that? It's like an iced tea, weird, might have a drug test on Monday, new job concoction.
They
what
have
is
it
that
at Benny's. You haven't seen it?
Yeah,
what
it's
is
at
it?
Benny's.
They have it at Benny's.
I'm pretty sure I can tell you it's not alcohol.
Yeah, I'm sure, and I'm sure it's not what I just said it was, but that is one weird mid-game, whatever he's doing to calm himself down drink. I'd like to know exactly what's in there. I want to try it out.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to start having him do commercials. I don't know. Look, that game was intense. I did not think Dusty managed a bad game.
No.
His team played a bad game. The only move Dusty made yesterday that I went,
oh, I agree with you.
What are you doing?
I know where you're going.
He challenged the first play
right.
of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And John Jay was clearly safe.
Clearly.
Right. Yeah.
It was not like, okay, this we may get this. Right. They had no chance.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, I know the Cubs, and I don't remember the guy's name, and the guy that tells them about all the
Nate Helm.
Okay, so Nate tells Joe and everything else. Someone's got to tell Dusty. It's just like football. Guys upstairs, they tell the coach. But when they tell Dusty, Dusty's got to say, you got to be kidding me. It's the first batter of the game. Let it go. You know, we've got a pitcher on the mound.
And not only that, but that's you talk about extending the game. They took a fair amount of time to go through that. And Ron Darling said, come on, guys. This is, you know, this should be about 15 seconds. This isn't even close.
In vintage Theo, too, doing everything right. There are video guys like the greatest guy in all of baseball. They never get it wrong. And they always know, like, instantly, Martinez is over there and the yes or no. And they never miss. The guy's incredible. Yeah. I still don't know how they got that call last night, though. I did not see any.
At first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see
what Jose Lobato said? I was out.
He said
my foot came off and he did tag me. He goes, I was out.
Okay.
It's on me.
That's fine. I'm not even saying that he wasn't out, but I like normally to me that would have been inconclusive. Like there was no actual video where you they froze
if you read
him.
The major league rule. Here's the play again. There's the snap throw. Now Ron Darling called it on the broadcast from live action. If you listen to the broadcast right there, he's out.
Yeah, but it wasn't even clear that his mitt was still on him. Like,
right.
Well, but see, you're only looking at two angles from TBS. If you read the Major League rule book today, it says that they have to provide both home and road camera angles. There are 18 cameras that they have in the replay center that you don't see, 16 of them.
Okay. I can't believe that any of them were more, you know, better angles than what we saw.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. I just didn't think they'd make that call in a game like this. Because it was so close. And if he did come off, even when his foot came off, it slid across the base. And then it came off a little bit. So when it slid, was it, did he still have the tag on? It's really hard to tell. But, hey, it's a great play by Contreras.
If that's,
and Lobaton made an awful play. Awful. Where's
true,
he going? Cap, the catcher, where's he going?
16 camera angles. Why aren't we seeing these? I mean, right. How difficult can this be in this time and age? Come on.
Nate saw him.
You know, because look, we're sitting here saying there's inconclusive, but obviously there was conclusive evidence.
Correct. They would not have overturned it without conclusive proof.
I mean, if I was a company and had a job open, I would call up Nate. If you can go through all 16 of those that fast, get it down to Joe Maddon, and basically, I mean, if they don't get that call, who knows how the game ends up? I mean, that's a huge play, right?
And Davis said it, too. Davis said he was in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, he walked the two guys, he gets a double play, puts another two guys on base, then you're at the top of the order. What I was shocked that when he came out in the ninth inning, he went 1-2-3 with Turner.
He said, after I got through the eighth, I went, all right, I'm good. Let's go.
I was thinking that too. Like, okay, now he can maybe. Okay, he can. I can see the finish line. It's three away. This is what I do.
But still, it was the top of the order. You're thinking, hey, listen, Turner's got hit the ball a little bit. You've got Worth and Harper, and it came down to that. It couldn't have been more poetic than getting Harper in the
strikeout. Let's talk about the Max Scherzer inning, because after the game, Chelsea James from the Washington Post, who is their beat reporter, she does a wonderful job covering that team. She said that both Jason Worth and Max Scherzer were almost unable to speak. She said Worth sat at his locker going, I cannot believe we lost this game, and he had no other words to say. She said Scherzer was inconsolable, could not believe what had happened. Because if you look back, he got Bryant and Rizzo on six pitches total.
Yep.
Nobody on at two outs, and the next thing you know, four runs are in. And here's this for a bizarre stat. So Jeff Passan tweeted from Yahoo. He said, how many times in Major League Baseball has that ever happened, if ever, that you had a catcher's interference, a drop third strike, an intentional walk, and what was the fourth bizarre, and a hit by pitch, all in the same inning, let alone four consecutive? Baseball Reference tweeted back at him and said, hey, guess what? We went through 2.73 million half innings in our database. It's never happened.
Yeah, it's only happened in a game. Those four things will only happen in a game a small amount of time.
Five times.
And the one thing, you say you didn't have anything wrong with Dusty, and I'm not one of the Dusty bashers, but I thought if you're going to throw Scherzer at all, let him start. Let him start the game. Get it two innings. Maybe if he's strong, go a third.
I can't start him.
Why not?
Because Gio Gonzalez is a starter. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get the inning I'm getting out of Scherzer. That's it.
And you should have thrown Tanner Roark, too, in the game somewhere. Tanner Roark sitting in the dugout. He knew they weren't going to put him in. They told him on the broadcast. They showed him. They go, they're telling him right now, get to the bullpen. We may need you. As it turns out, I think he was their only pitcher that didn't pitch.
Another thing in that inning that we haven't mentioned, I mean, the Javi Baez swing and miss, and he hits Wieters, and they don't call it. That should have been a dead ball.
Should have been dead ball.
Ball goes in right field, get a run.
Actually, Jerry Lane spoke after the game.
Yeah.
He went through the replay. That's the home plate umpire, Jerry Lane, who's been around forever. I believe he's the crew chief in this series.
Drove me nuts last night. Jerry, call the strike. Go ahead.
Jerry Lane said that after watching the replay, he's convinced he got it right. That once, watch when the contact is made with the side of the mask, where the ball is. Okay, where is the ball at this point? The contact comes right now. The ball is long gone.
No,
he said the way the rule is written, he has his judgment. Did that impede him from fielding the ball or making a throw? He said, I'm convinced I got it right.
If that's the rule, he got it right. I mean, the ball is past him.
But making the throw, if in fact that bat comes and hits Wieters in the head and he falls to the ground, I mean, is it still going to be, they got to be running around the bases? No.
But he didn't.
It hit him. He immediately got hit. And at that point, it should have been dead ball. You get first base. Ball's missed.
That's not the way the rule's written. It's the umpire's judgment.
Well, no, but it is the way the rule's written. The umpire could have said that.
It's the way the rule is written if it interferes with him on a steal. That's the only way it's written.
No, it's not. I read the rule last night.
I read it, too. And Jerry Lane spoke to the Washington Post today. He said, absolutely, if the ball is past the catcher, does not interfere with him fielding the ball, my judgment that it did not impact the play.
Well, there's no doubt it didn't bother him fielding the ball because it was already past him. But getting the ball and throwing it definitely impeded him. He got hit in the head with a bat.
He got grazed.
Great. He got hit. He got hit harder than Jerry Lane.
Jerry Lane took some shots to the head last night.
And then he also hit Contreras too.
Yeah, that was funny. Can we talk about that for a second? I mean, Wilson Contreras. You know, Joe Girardi ripped himself for, you know, I didn't want to go to the replay because I didn't want to mess with my pitcher's rhythm and I was a catcher. Wilson Contreras is on his own rhythm back there. However long he wants to take, slow down, this, that. And I don't think that he has his pitcher in mind. He's got his own little Wilson Contreras world. By the way, great catcher. Love that he's on the team. Love him hitting fourth, all of that. But it's a bizarre, I don't know what
you think he's on Pudge time? Is that it?
I think
Pudge had his own rhythm.
Oh,
too.
The reason? Oh, because he was killing Jerry Lane. How do they not know the signs? You're missing a fastball, drilling him in the head. He's like, he's turning around to hug him.
Right
like,
there.
I mean, like, how do you not know the signs? It's October.
Yeah. Well, unless him and Davis got screwed up because that ball hit him flush.
That ball got him.
And what was the pitch too? It should have been a wild pitch, and they called a wild pitch. It should have been a pass ball on Contreras.
Yeah, it should have been. Goes off his glove.
Yeah.
Look, the drop third strike to Javi, I think they ruled a wild pitch. That's not a wild pitch. That ball should have been a pass ball.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a gold glove catcher back there. And what is he doing picking the ball up?
And throwing it.
Yeah. And what happened to Daniel Murphy, if you watch the replay again? Freddie Keebler, the turf elf, reach out and trip him? How did he not back that play up?
Yeah.
It's true, too.
It's amazing.
Should have eaten it.
First of all, he's got to feel that. That ball never hit the dirt. Until it was past him.
And then what are you throwing it for?
And then what happened to Murphy?
Well, I mean, it spun off.
He's backing him up like 8 feet.
How does Ryan Zimmerman not make that play?
Right,
come off the bag.
I mean, it's three terrible plays. Murphy's, I think, the least of it. But this is like, come on, dude.
Oh, I think.
I mean, he's got to catch that.
Yeah, all day. Yeah. All day.
It's funny because that wasn't the worst swing Javi Baez had yesterday.
What a series.
Javi Baez swung at a ball that it's the highest pitch a catcher has ever caught. It was at least 4 feet over the strike zone. I couldn't believe it. And he swung at that. And anytime Javi Baez gets a hit, the pitcher screwed up. I know you said it earlier in the season.
This guy's a 270 hitter this year.
Because pitchers are screwing up. There's a couple pitchers on TV, they said, and they would not throw Javi Baez a ball in the strike zone. You never have to when you're still going to strike him out. Throw him in the dirt, throw him high, he won't hit him. He'll swing at everything. It's amazing.
I notice you're in black and white for your White Sox.
Today. That's got nothing to do with it. I'm a heavy guy. I always wear black.
I'll be interested to see if Javi continues to struggle. You're going to keep running him out there?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
Come on now.
He didn't start. Hold on a second.
He could bat 90 and I'll put him
in one of the games
in the
last series over
Scott. He could be 0-40.
Yes.
Dude, he's one of the best defensive players in the game.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's a threat to hit it out of the park every time he's up.
Are you two forgetting that he didn't start in game three of this series?
I remember that.
Okay, so.
Well aware.
So he might not start in every game in the Dodger series either, pal.
He's going to be a regular.
Of course he's going to be regular, but maybe he misses more than one. Maybe he misses two. Listen, that guy's got to start playing a little bit better. Their lineup needs to lengthen out. They hit in one game in the series.
So does Chris Bryant. He struck out 7 out of 8 at bats. Yeah. You going to sit him?
No, I'm not sitting Chris Bryant. He's got a little bit of a better pedigree than Javi Baez. Settle down. Javi didn't get a hit in the series.
0-14, was he?
Yeah. He made some big-time defensive plays. Was he a great player in the series? No. That play he made in the first inning to catch it, fire it 89 miles an hour to the plate, and get Trey Turner, that was a big-time play.
That was a great play, and let's not turn it around.
It won the game. Yeah.
That play won the game?
After the game.
Okay,
so I go back to that first inning. That was the biggest play.
Well, there were also people questioning why Dusty didn't have the infield in the top of the inning.
Right.
If Dusty would have brought the infield in, Rizzo's ball would have been a single. It wouldn't have been an out. The inning would have continued. So Dusty made the right call by not having the infield in at that point, as it turned out. You know, if he did bring it in, that inning still could have been going
out. That was an amazing baseball game.
What was Rendon doing playing off the line? What are you doing?
Well, speaking of off the line, the Weeders ball down the right field line, that's great scouting. Because I don't care how fast Hayward is, he had to be playing so close to the line in order to get that ball. Because that ball goes in the corner, they're running around like a merry-go-round.
And he made it look easy. He made it look easy.
He did.
Say what you want about
that ball was hit. I thought the ball hit by Weeders with men on. Maybe the base was loaded.
I think they were.
And Hayward made it. I got it.
I know. Yeah. He's kidding. He was right. I go, what's he doing there? And I'm sure Wieters thought the same thing.
That's another guy. Are we willing to sit Jason Hayward some in this series? Can I get some Ben Zobrist in right field or perhaps an Ian Happ? We need his right field defense. I mean, come on.
Well, if the Dodgers shut us out twice like they did.
Yeah, I'm serious. Every time he comes up in a clutch situation.
If he's not in right field yesterday for that play, ball game's over and the Nationals are in L.A.
How do you know they don't camp Zobrist over there and he makes the same play? Ben Zobrist is not dropping any balls in right field.
Was it game three? He also made a couple of nice catches in right center.
How is he getting to?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to have him out there for the defense. But if it's when you get to the World Series, if you could DH for somebody else, you would DH for him and let the pitchers
probably.
Enough with the have to have Jason Hayward in the lineup deal. I'm not saying he shouldn't play him some. But if he's hitting, if he's continuing in the tank, and another thing, by the way, hit him eighth. That is your eight hitter. Slide Javi up.
Carm, do you still let him make the rain delay speech, though?
Great speech. I double his salary. He's not getting paid enough. Give him $360 million. $360 for the speech. Got no problem with what he's getting paid.
We can get more of this at WGN Radio.
That's right.
We'll do 2 hours of that game.
After every postgame show, we'll be on Kepi.
After every Cubs game, stay tuned for Cubs Postgame Live, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. With David Kaplan and David DeJesus, hear from Cubs players inside the locker room. Get a live look inside Joe Maddon's post-game press conferences and more.
I think our guys are young and dumb still. You know, like, I love that. I love it. I love our young guys. Our guys are so cocky that they don't give a You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. I apologize. I love watching guys. That's really cool. Who's doing that? I hate you. Get my driver locked in.
Break down that 7-out save for us from Wade Davis tonight.
I have no idea. I blacked out. I have no idea. I watched literally probably 3 outs of it. I have a problem in postseason games actually watching the game in the dugout. And I watched the last 3 outs in the dugout, and it was awesome. He did a great job the last 3 outs. The other four, I have no idea what happened.
That was some of the most entertaining television we put on this station last night. I mean, John Lester was hilarious. We had to edit some of it. David Haw was entertained by some of that hilarity in the nation's capital last night. He joins us from Los Angeles now. All right, David, you just were there. I heard you asking questions to Joe Maddon. Who do you believe, your gut feeling, is the starter for game one?
I think it'll be Jose Quintana. I think definitely it makes the most sense. He threw 12 pitches last night, Cap. John Lackey, also under consideration. But I just don't know if you want to trust him under these circumstances if you're the Cubs. Quintana's coming off a strong start. He's been a very good pitcher since September 1st, really the second half, except for a dip in August. And I think that when you look at what that says about your chances of, you know, you're not going to concede anything in game one. And there would be a feeling, I think, of concession, maybe not among the Cubs, certainly, but John Lackey would not give you your best chance to win tomorrow night, I think, as much as Quintana would.
You know, looking at this team and all they've had to overcome to get through this season, get through that series, now the plane gets delayed in Albuquerque. I thought Joe's mindset seemed pretty good about, hey, look, with all that's going on in our world, this was like a bunt, not a big deal.
No doubt about it. Look, and he was 20 minutes late for the press conference because of traffic here in California. So they have overcome a lot this year. They have dealt with a lot of things in their way. It's a great metaphor for this entire season. You start out and you're sort of scuffling along. You're stuck in traffic in the NL Central. And where are you at the end of this year? You're right where you were last year when you won it all. So, yeah, they have definitely had their share. It's been a long 24 hours. It's been a long postseason already for them and for everybody, and especially when you consider, you know, going out of your way. They didn't get much sleep. It was the longest postseason game ever. But, you know, they're on adrenaline right now. This is a young team. They definitely can respond to, you know, the moment. They have confidence in this building. The last time they were here for a postseason series last year, they won 2 games in a row. And they scored 18 runs. So I think they feel very good about that. That other stuff is very good narrative for us to write about and to kind of look at. And it is interesting. But I don't think it's going to have any effect on tomorrow night.
Would you agree with this statement or not? The single best quality that this Chicago Cubs roster has is the character that they're built upon. And Theo has talked about, I'd rather have a B-plus talent, an A-plus character, than an A-plus-plus player with C character. Do you agree with that?
I think I would, Cap. I think to maybe another degree, I think it's resilience, and that's all related because, you know, when they fell behind 4-1 last night, it wasn't a sense of panic. You didn't see a lot of anxiety. I think there was a calmness, an expectation. I mean, that something good was about to happen or that they were still in that game. It was way too early to say the Cubs could not win, and look what happened. And I think they're, you know, that's born from experience. That's born from, you know, having success and, you know how to win. It's also, like you said, it's from character, and you surround and you build with guys of that caliber, and that's what you're going to get when times get tough. And I think that's what this Cub team epitomizes as much as anything, is that they're going to bounce back. There's going to be they understand something's wrong is going to happen. They're placing, you know, they're Clayton Kershaw tomorrow night. It's not all going to go well. There's going to be tough innings. There's going to be tough at bats, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of anxiety because there's a feeling that, you know, you can do this because they have done it before. This is their third straight NLCS, and this is the sustained success that Theo Epstein promised, and they have delivered.
David, appreciate the knowledge, my man. Travel safe out there. Have a good trip, and we'll see you back at Wrigley on Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, Cap. Take care.
All right, see you, pal. There he is, our guy, David Haugh, out there in L.A. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.